We are in our series on who we are. Some boys have been passing around our papers. Does everybody have a sermon notes for today? Does everybody have that? If you do not have that, raise your hand. If you do not have that, we have some. Stand up there, and some of the boys that passed around, keep your hands up. We want everybody to have a copy here. Just like last week, I'm going to flow through this. And it's very, very important. So keep your hands up. We'll get you a copy of my sermon notes today. I do not write these sermon notes very often, but this is last week in the week. It's got some great stuff, and I want you to reread it through the week. We are in the midst of who we are. We believe that you got to be genuinely saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? That is very, very important. Secondly, we believe in prayer, and we want everybody to be praying without ceasing. And then thirdly, we are committed Bible people. We must be Bible people. And we're independent, fundamental. We believe in a dispensational, literal interpretation of the Bible. We believe in eternal security. Aren't you glad you're saved for sure forever? That is so good. And we believe in progressive sanctification, that it just keeps getting better and you're getting closer to being Christ-like. And it's a process. It's a lifelong process. And then number eight, we believe that we are to be transformed into Christ-likeness and not conformed to the world. Very important. We talked about that last week. And then number 10, where every member is a missionary. We're all witnesses. And then a John 13:35, loving church family. By this shall men know that ye are my disciples by your what? Love for one another. Excellent there. Then one of the negative ones, we call it unbiblical evolution, abortion, and also LGBT. We got to take a stand on these issues, very much. The Bible's very clear. And then godly men as pastors, we emphasize we need ladies very, very much, but only men can be pastors. And then the sign gifts have ceased. Tongues and healing there. I want to make an emphasis there that God still is in the business of miracles. And the supernatural, to have things happen. I don't have supernatural events happening around a lot, but to have just timing. Yesterday or Friday night, I got to pick up Jim and Anita coming from Africa, and I was sitting out in the parking lot at the airport waiting on them. I thought the bus would come by and pull in, but the bus has a way of sneaking in the back way that I did not know. And so, but there was a time I was waiting, you know, patiently. And I just got out of my car and went into the place. And at that exact time, Jim and Anita were coming through the door. It was just perfect. And I'm sitting there going, thank you, Jesus. And to have God to speak to people, run into people that you'll be in the same place, same time, huh? I love that. And God speaking through the Bible to have the miraculous happen. Let's don't throw out the miraculous because I want to see that every day. I want to see the hand of God moving in my life. And last one there is biblical counseling. The Bible has the answer for every one of our needs. And that's very, very important. This morning we are in the issue, just two issues here, of the solid Christian families, the solid Christian home in Colossians chapter 3. Let's just look at it together. It just says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Here it comes. Wives, what's the one word you don't want to hear? Wives, submit. It's really submit to their love. Submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, selflessly. Put yourself second, third, fourth. Love your wives. And do not be harsh with them. It's amazing that's in there. Children, what's children's job? What's children's job? What's children's job? I don't hear the children. Children, I want you to say it. Children. If you want some brownie points, you will say it. Children. Very good, very good. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, this is fitting. And it is so important that obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children to, lest they become discouraged. This is the Colossians passage. Very important that we catch this. And we're interested in producing godly, solid Christian homes and families. We must. Are we in a day where the decline of the family is so evident in every part of our society and culture? It's falling apart. It is the main thing that's falling apart in our day. And it's after your family. And you got to say, God, help me. And it's after churches. We have dysfunctional families. Now we have dysfunctional churches. We're a church that we believe that mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and the kids and the teens ought to be at church at the same time. Very important. There are churches today, the teens come 1 hour, the children another day, another hour, the young adults another day, the older adults another day. No. The Bible says that we are to, the younger and the older are to be together. And the older are to teach the younger, and they got to be around. And we believe that. We don't want dysfunctional churches. We need to have functional churches and functional families. Isn't it great to have a family that works? Huh? In our day, and teenagers, if you got a working family, my goodness, if things don't fuss, don't fight, don't war. That is so important that we catch that. But we must produce godly kids and godly teens. We must. Take your paper out. I'm going to fly right through it here. We need to do that. It starts in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, right at the top there. It says, give thanks always for everything to God. Submit yourselves to one another, men to women, men, women to men. And then it says to the home. It says, wives, submit. I've written some words here. I put a lot of time into the comments. It says, respect, honor, follow, complete. Is that a biblical statement? The wife is to be a completer. Is that right? And then to be to give advice. Preacher, I like that last part, to give advice. No. Be careful that all of them has to be there. There's got to be respect, honor, following, completing, advice to your own husband, as you would to the Lord. Big statement. And he's the Savior, the next verse, verse 23 at the end. He's the Savior of you. And it's very important down at the bottom there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husband as fitting in the Lord. And the submitting there is respecting, honor, follow, complete. Respect. Let me state this. I just learned what respect is. That is really neat to see that happening in your home. There's an illustration, a perfect illustration. The husband drops his clothes on the bedroom floor. Men, is anything wrong with that? Okay. I like your answer. And the wife sees it. The wife could come out and say, hey, doofus, you drop your clothes on the floor. Get in there and pick them up, you creep. Is that respect? No. Here's respect. Mike. Whose clothes are those on the floor in the room? Answer to Ron Lee. I don't know. The answer is, yes, dear, I will go pick them up. Thank you. That's respect. Too much today is just doofus, you know. And respect. Do you know if wives will learn to do that, that's really what it's submission with respect instead of just pushing around, and to have respect, to treat. Should we treat our teenagers with respect? Yes. Same way. You go into their room and you say, did a hurricane hit this room? You know, where are you? Oh, there you are. You're just a precious one. You want me to help you clean this up? Oh, no, Mom, I'll do it. That's respect. You're not down, putting them down. Wives, submit, respect, honor, follow, compete, complete, advise. Very important. Husbands, let's get to husbands. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives. Love them. Selflessly love them. You're the Savior, verse 23. You're the Savior of them. Verse 26, you are to give them the word. You're going to be a Bible man and show them the word of God. You are to die for them. You are to give your life up. Verse 25, put them first. Verse 28, in the same way husbands should love. Now, I've gotten a thing for them. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Listen. Preacher, I don't see that one in there. That's loving. Listening. Is listening an art that we've forgotten? We're the leader. We're ordained leader. Now we should be the lover and the leader. And we should be sensitive. And we should be listening. We should lead by example. Be a prudent problem solver. Be decisive. That's a man. We need manly qualities. But being sensitive and listening is a manly quality. And we are to love them as we love ourselves. And we really love ourselves. And verse 29, we're to nourish them and cherish them. We're to compliment them. We're to build them up. We're to value them. They are to be special. Is that true? That'll make it. That's very, very important. Verse 31, it says, now leave father and mother, you're two, become one. Become one. Keep working on that. Ron Lee and I are doing great in our years of being childless and an empty nest. When you're an empty nest, you better have love for one another. Or you can't stand them. And you're becoming, become one. Become one. Become one. Work at it. And I think we're having oneness much more than used to be. That's great. And that's very important. The two becoming one. We think alike. You can almost pick what the other's going to say. Is that right? And you treat each other with respect. And it's wonderful. There. Summary, verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Very important that we respect there, and that in it, very important that it goes that way. At the bottom of the page, the verse is there. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the husband, likewise husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way, showing honor. That's how you do an understanding way. Showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel. If you can read it, it's at font 5, okay? Had to get that way. It says, not despising their physical weaknesses or using them as slaves, but respecting them, caring for them above yourself, treating them gently, covering their infirmities. Love covers a multitude of what? Differences, disagreements, sins. And it says, since they are equal heirs. Are we equal with God? Equal heirs, equal heirs of the kingdom there, of the grace of life, so that your what be not hindered? You know, if you and your husband are not together, your prayers bounce off the ceiling. And that's so important that you catch that. It's so important that we realize that's real. That's what it says. If we're fussing, our prayers are worthless. And that's important. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, respecting him, respectfully put him first, and humbly place yourself under his God-ordained authority, so that even if some of the unsaved husbands do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Is that powerful? That's powerful. That needs to be in our minds, for and pray for our wives with unsaved husbands and husbands with unsaved wives. Very, very important to catch that. Back up to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, all the children, raise your hand. All children, raise your hand. What is the one rule for you in life? Children, what? Say it louder, children. Very good, very good. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. It'll bless you. People don't realize obedient children live longer because the parents don't kill them. Okay. And it's important. They have... It is very important that they realize that you get blessed when you obey your parents. Take you to Dairy Queen more, okay? And it's very important you get blessed. Verse 2, Ephesians 6, verse 2. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you. You're blessed. You're advantaged. You learn. You know, you only learn two ways. Either learn by listening to your parents and telling them that the stove is hot, or you do what? You touch the stove yourself and you realize pain. You learn. Would it be better to learn from your parents telling you? Children, if your parents are here, you need to learn and listen and have a good life. And don't rebel. That's so important. And it says that it would be good with you. You have a well and you have a long life. Down in Colossians 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. One statement there. You can graciously make an appeal, but no matter what, obey respectfully. Do you know what appeal is? Your parents say to you, you've broken this rule, go to your room, you have to stay in your room and you lose this privilege. An appeal to parents as children, teenagers. It's very important. Listen. The teen respectfully says to mom and dad, "Dad, can I say something, please?" And the parents respectfully, both respectfully, nobody's yelling. "Yes, my sister did this and this, and I didn't do that. Ask her." And the parents, in respect, listen. And they turn to the sister and says, "Is that true?" And the sister says, "Yes." That's an appeal. And then the parent says, "You're forgiven. Sister!" That's an appeal. That's an appeal. It's very important. That's the privilege you have as a teenager to a parent. You don't have too many argues. All we do is argue. No. Parents aren't perfect. Give an appeal. Now, don't be the Harvard lawyer. Come on. Be truthful. But if you give an appeal and the parents still hold to what they said, you still got to obey. Is that right? It's very important. Because you're told by God to obey. You're going to answer to God one day how you obeyed your parents. That's going to be one of the rules you're going to stand before God. That's heavy. That's the one. So note that. And then it says fathers. Fathers. Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, and that deals with mothers also. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, similar verse, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. I do think that fathers and mothers and parents need to read that verse a lot. Because you can say, do as I say, don't do as I do. Teenagers has eyes and ears and they know what goes on. And you better set an example and not cause them to go bad. Provoke them to anger. Provoke them to wrath. Provoke them to discouragement. But to discipline them, to correct them, to train self-control, to instruct them, to train them truth training, to help them up. That's your job. It's your job, Dad. It's your job to have truth training of children. It's not the Sunday school teachers. It's not the Christian school. It's your job. Is that right? It's your job. Now, the church is going to help. The Christian school is going to help. The homeschooler is going to help. Is that right? But your job. And that is so, so important. So, so important. Now, I got some verses here. I'm going to run through them very quickly. All the children and the teenagers, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, 4 to 7, and verse 9. I want the whole family to read it with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 7 and 9, the whole family. So let's read it together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Should Bible verses be outside of our houses? Yes. People know we're Christians. Bible verses, truth. This is a great verse. Great verse. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. That truth will stay in him for all of his life. And in his later years, even if he's doing wrong, will convict him. Very important. 1 Timothy 3, 4, it says we are to manage our house well. We are to keep our children in submission and obedience. That's hard work, but it's eternally worth it. And then Abraham was chosen by God because he kept his kids going in the right direction. And he wasn't perfect by no means, but he led them for spiritual blessing and joy. And then discipline here. Proverbs is great for that. It says discipline, correct your child. He'll give you rest. He'll give you delight. I like it in Genesis, here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. This was my favorite verse as a child. I'm just kidding you. You know, discipline is painful. You know, it hurts me more than it hurts you. No, you know, it does. But pain trains, and that's very important. My son, keep your father's commandments. Forsake not the laws of your mother. And then it says, a fool despises the father's instruction, but whosoever heeds reproof, correction, helpful rebuke is prudent, listens, and doesn't have to pay the cost. It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, and he who hates reproof is stupid. What a translation. Is irresponsible. Folly is bound in the heart of a child. They're sinners. They're sin nature. But the rod of discipline shall drive it far from them. Sin destroys. And correction, the rod. Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. I want you to know, if they get hurt, there is no excuse for child abuse. Is that right? None. God has given how to discipline children with the rod and a place to put the rod. If you strike him with a rod, you shall save his soul from Sheol. You'll save him from a whole life of sin and degradation and misery. On the back page, at the top. The rod and reproof give wisdom. A child left to himself unrestrained brings his mother shame. Is that happening in our culture? Man, that's happening. These are simple principles. Go at them. Maybe you haven't learned them in your life, but these work. And we have, there's no room for beating kids all over the place. No. I remember stories of the razor strap. How many of you had the razor strap? There's no room for that. There's no room for that. And I still hold a good belt. It's very good. You know what a belt does? You have a leather belt. Children, don't listen. Don't listen. This is parents. Just parents. You take a leather belt and you have it there and it's lead and you go whang, bang, makes noise. Bang, bang. I'm convinced. You get your child about 10 years old, 8 years old, 9, 6 years old and say, I'm going to give you a spanking. And you go bang, bang. They'll go, oh, oh, oh. You haven't even touched them. Bang, bang, bang. Oh, oh, quit it, quit it, quit it. It's noise factor mostly, but it is amazing. I don't think we should kill them or beat them or whatever, no. But discipline. There must be a consequence to wrongdoing. Is that right? Must be a consequence. God's got a plan. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. Catch that. Wow. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Consistent, constant. And there is very important. All children and teenagers, reading the next verse. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 to 21. And you'll be glad you don't live in the Old Testament. Here we go. Here we go. All teenagers and children. Everybody read it. Teenagers, children. Here we go. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son. Are you reading with me? Who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of a place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is a stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, wow, to death. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall what? Hear and what? That's not for our day today. That was Old Testament. We need to have obedient children. We have, as I put in parenthesis here, a culture that does not punish evil will see evil, what? Increase. And we're seeing that on every side. Look at the next verse. Next verse is just as bad. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh a father and scorns to obey a mother will be plucked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Now, parents, those are great verses. Okay, those are great verses. Note what I've said. Catch what it says. This is a really big statement. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Is that right? Keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. It's our job to make certain that you do right. In my teen years, my mama, I was scared to death of my mama. Scared to death of my mama. And she didn't have to spank me very much because I was scared to death. I wouldn't do anything that disappoint her. Just her look. Parents, we need that, huh? We need that. And now she loved, but man, I was stupid when I was a teenager. I was wanting to do evil. Is that right? And it tear me apart. And I knew if I did that, she'd kill me. So So I didn't do it, bud. Ooh, buddy. Mike, you want to do this? No, no. You want to go party with? No, I'm not going there. My mama has ears in the back of her head and everywhere else. And no. It is so important that we realize that. Moving away from the children here, a wise son, Proverbs 13:1, hears his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And our last verse here on the family. And if an evil in your eyes, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. We live in a land of evil. Let's all read the last phrase there. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's very important. We're going to have devotions, as it says. Put up the next slide. We're going to have devotions there. We're going to support the church. We're going to have meaningful times with God. We're going to have prayer times. We're going to have transparency of love. We're going to be Bible people. Is that right? We're going to have families. We've got to be families. And that's so important. So important. Next is music. Music is a big thing. Colossians chapter 3. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Music is so important. Look at your paper there. Put the next slide up. Music is deceiving the day. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6. There's emptiness in it. There is people partaking of evil, and you don't need to mimic the world. There's darkness. We need to have light. Just look at all the words there. We need to have discernment. We need to please God in our music. We need to have no part, verse 11, in the unfruitful works of darkness. World's music, Jesus' music should be different, and we should expose it. We make no apology for our music. We believe that good Christian music should be something that we enjoy, something that we sing. At the end of our service this morning, we're going to sing my favorite song. And with my voice crackling already, I'm still going to sing it with all my being because it just blesses my soul. But it's important that we realize that we must not have fleshly music. And it gives us in verse 17. Look at verse 17. Ephesians 5 verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, feeding your flesh, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, feeding the Spirit. And do not get drunk with wine, which is a debauchery. Do drunk people sing? Oh man, they sing. They sing silly songs. And it says, don't sing like drunk man, sing like a spirit-filled man, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, not secular songs, sacred songs. There's a place for secular songs. There's a place for fun music. There's a place. There's a place for concerts. There's a place for Christian radio. There's a place. But I found that if I listen to, you know, my daughter likes country music. If I listen to it for over a half hour, my mind moves from God to the world. It's not bad. It just moves off of God. I challenge you. Keep your mind up. And there's a place for that. There's a place for it. And it's very important that we understand that. He wanted us to have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I've been studying that this week. There is the Psalms is the Psalms of David and Bible verses in the book of Psalms. The hymns, nobody's quite not sure. They thought that they were called that also. But the spiritual songs would be songs that are not quite right out of the Bible, but good songs, okay? I think is what he's saying is, don't just get caught on one style of songs. There are a couple songs, and there's one straight out of the Bible, and then there's ones about good lifestyle lessons that you learn. Spiritual songs, poetry. And he says, but don't get caught up in one. There is a variety. And it's so important that we have the variety, and we say, God, help us as we do that. And he says, God, you lead us there so that we make melody in our hearts, music to the Lord and for the Lord. I'm going to ask my wife to come up and finish my sermon. It's going to get short here. I want y'all to read all these verses. These are very important verses. Because we have an attack today on Christian music. Y'all know that? There is an assault today on Christian music. And there's a place for good Christian music. There's a place for concert music. When you go to a concert, I've been to a couple. Concerts are not church. Okay? They're there entertaining you. Now, is some worship, yes, but it's not high worship because it's entertainment. There's lights flashing. There's all kinds of things. There are all kinds of digital imagery going on, and it's just assaulting your mind, and you're not. But you realize, wow, and it can be some worshipful, but I want you to know, congregational singing is very important. You get that nowhere else. And when a truth is alive, like we sang, the power of the cross in Christ alone, those truths are real. And we need to realize, I'm going to sing those with all my might. Now, we like different songs. Today, we have a million, jillion different styles. And if you're not careful, you'll be saying, well, I don't like that style. I don't like that style. I don't like that style. You need to enjoy whatever comes and try to get it from God and to realize we're going to sing for God. And we try to sing the old and the new. And it's very important that we do that. But to rejoice and to say, God, keep me from the flesh. Let's look at the bottom part of our verses down here. I want you all to read those. They're very good. Because we have a day where a lot of songs are about us. I want you to know, when we're singing, we should be singing to Jesus, about Jesus, for Jesus, and it's not about how we feel. There's too many songs about me feeling good. And we need to be upward to Him. And it's so important that we grasp that and realize that. And that is so good. At the bottom down there, we need to know that it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, the third verse from the bottom, whose people belong to this world, so they speak of the world's viewpoint and the world listens to them. We need never to let our godless culture influence our church music. Very important. We got to be careful. And it's important that entertainment is still about emotions of how we feel. And even at the best, entertainment has some value of worship, but not at any high level. And we need to know that church worship is glorious, not entertainment. And we got to separate entertainment from gloriousness. And that is so important to catch and realize. Wow. The verse at the bottom of the page, let's all read it together. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Let's read it together. For those who live after the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. There's a place for secular music, some fun music. There's a place for concert music, entertainment, some good stuff. some worship, but there's a greater place where church comes together with truth producing emotion and it becoming alive in our lives, because that's what singing is. Singing is truth with emotion personalized, and I want you to enjoy your singing. There's nothing like congregational singing, blasting, shouting, praising God, and realizing the truth sets me free. And it's glorious. The song we're going to sing, put the next slide up. The song we're going to sing, put the next slide up, is Glorious Day, my favorite song. Living, He loved me, is that right? Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day, what? He's coming. Oh, glorious day.